says love that goes beyond borders, Acts 1:8.
Amen. 10 years ago last month, nine of us from this church went on a short-term missions trip to Brazil.
And now I'm going to leave my informal part.
And as the pastor, I was on that trip with my two sons and six others from the church. And we spent almost 2 weeks there in Brazil just serving the Lord and trying to reach the Portuguese people. We worked with the church that Delvino pastors at. And as a pastor, I immediately felt a connection with Delvino. Being a pastor in Canada, him a pastor in Brazil, my heart
even
just went out to him.
Don't write
I felt
down
very close to him and to his
to
church. We did as a church
that
feel very close to him. God spoke to us. God changed us. Some of our young people came back to this country, different young people. Our youth group changed as a result of that missions trip. And I trust that God used us while
I
we were down there.
I said to Delton
there.
Before the trip.
Well, when we came back, we decided that as a church, we
would
begin
would
to support that church. And
would come out of what
Delvino
we learn
as that
on the trip as it
And
happens.
As a pastor, I've always felt that men who God calls to ministry need to be men
what we learned
of biblical
during
understanding.
This trip that
and that's
we've been
exactly
on
what Delvino
week,
is.
Not
he's a man of biblical understanding. He knows the word. But he's more than just a man of biblical understanding. He's a man of biblical conviction. The truths that he understands, he's convinced of, and he lives his life in light of that. He's also a man of biblical obedience.
This afternoon, and I'll be
he's
able to share a little bit more.
He's a man who doesn't only preach the word, but he obeys the word.
He's invited us over for lunch, so if you want
to
know more,
he's a man of
more,
biblical
too,
exhortation.
Have to have us over for
lunch
as well.
He's the kind of man who loves to preach Christ and preach him crucified. He's a man who preaches the gospel, and the church has grown there in Brazil. And he's a man of biblical courage. We need men like that in our day, in a day where many are turning away from
the middle of
the gospel
of
Jesus
different
Christ.
Ways that God has
we need
this
men
trip to happen.
Who are men of biblical courage.
God provided
who are not
Delton
afraid to stand up and
Aaron,
say, thus
and he has been
says
that for me
the
on
Lord,
this trip.
Who take their stand on God's word and who take their stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ, no matter what it costs, even if it costs their lives.
God
and I believe that Delvino
errands,
is a man like that.
He's
we love you, Delvino. We've been
drivers,
praying for you for 10 years. I never thought I would see the
many
day
different
where
people
you would
that
be
have been
sitting
very
here in this
us.
Church. But we want to give God a great round of applause for bringing Delvino and Delton, a fellow missionary, to Brazil. And we're now going to hear about their ministry there. Come. Delton's going to share. He's
going to take a little bit of time now to let Delton share about the ministry that we have been involved with together, parallel to my ministry there at the church that I planted. And after that, we'll go to the Bible and share a little bit more of a formal time. Thank you. He's going to speak in English, and I'm going to translate for you in Portuguese. Good morning, church. It's really good to be here with you this morning, and I'm just going to take 5 minutes to talk about the ministry that I've involved with, that Delvino is also involved with as the vice president of our board. It's the context in which I got to know him and which I sought him out during a moment in my life as a father to seek his advice about being a father, because I really respected the lives that his four adult children live. So just to let you know briefly about me, my name's Delton. I'm Canadian. I grew up in Sulacout, Ontario, northwestern Ontario, there beyond Thunder Bay. Went on to university, was feeling a tug in my heart about working directly with people, decided to focus on social work, went to Cedarville University down in Ohio, and I met my wife there, and I'm without my clicker, Kim, so you can flip to the next slide. That's a picture of my family there. Fernie's from Brazil. That's a crazy family photo of me and my five kids, and Fernie, serious photo is out on the table out there. But we have now been there down in Brazil for a total of 9 years. We just got open the doors for us to be able to do that. And I work with this organization called ABBA. And so the two reasons for this trip to come was to share about the organization and for Delvino to be able to speak with you. And thank you for all the support that you've given to him and to the church there over the years. So going to the next slide, that just gives the map in case any of you need to localize Brazil. And the next slide after that, which is coming up there, shows some of the reality that I work in every day. And so God has called ABBA as an organization to work in some of the most difficult poverty situations in São Paulo, in Brazil. You have whole areas that are taken over by slums. They're lacking in the basic services that we take for granted. Many times in those situations, actually mostly all the situations, are areas that are controlled by drug traffickers. We have to get permission to go in and out of those areas from those people. Drugs has destroyed many lives. It's taken many families and broken them down. It's taken many people to the streets. So the combination of the drugs and the poverty has created a situation of family breakdown, and you have a situation where many children are suffering in the middle of this, either children going to the streets or simply situations of abuse and neglect of risk there in their homes. Going to the next slide, it's into that context that God has put this organization. It's a Brazilian organization, but we have a strong support from influence from international missionaries as well. About 8 different countries represented in the missionaries who are there, and about 50% are Brazilians also. So I always say it feels like a little bit of a taste of heaven. And we are involved in showing Christ's love to these children who are in the middle of these difficult situations. Psalm 68, 5 and 6 says, and let me just find it here, says, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. The first line of the next verse, God sets the lonely in families. It's really neat to see that process happen of God setting the lonely in families, of showing Christ's love to these children in these situations. And I could talk about the different areas that Abba's been involved in. We do a number of different things, but just moving to the next slide, I just want to share a story with you. This is Michael over there on the left-hand side. He's a boy who came to us last year. He lives in the children's home of 10 kids that we have. And his situation was similar to many kids that we see. His mom got involved in drugs. She was living on the streets. He went to the street with her there. He ended up getting separated from her. He was living on the streets for a while. Saw and experienced really terrible things. Ended up in a shelter that was taking care of him, and then went to another home. But because of everything that he had been through, he was a really chaotic boy, 11 years old. And one day I got a call from the judge who works closely with us from her department. And she said, Delton, Mishael's situation is this, and that. And she was describing the behavior. She said, we're losing control of the whole house because of him. Would you guys take him? Would you guys be willing to try with him? I went and met with him, and we prayed about it as a team, and we said, yeah, let's try this. And he came, and he was with us. The first 6 months were not easy. He probably ran away about 12 different times during that time. We have a wall around the homes, a lot of them do, and they're high, not so much to keep people in as to keep people out from the dangers that are around us. And he'd go over that 3-meter wall like it was nothing. I remember the last day that he did, I went after him and I found him a few blocks away, and he was running away and going back to the streets. And I was telling him how much he's worth in God's eyes. And I was telling him how that we had already lost 2 other boys to the streets who are no longer living. And I was not going to let him be the third. And he was saying, but you can't keep me. You can't make me stay. And I was just avoiding that question and saying, God loves you this much. That day, he came back to the house and through a conversation with our director there and things, that was the last day that he ran away. And he's been doing well since then. He's been staying in school. We used to have to pick him up at school. He couldn't make it in school. Now he is. And a few weeks ago, he said to me something that I think is in these verses. He said, Uncle, that's what he calls us, the different workers there. I want a family. Where am I going to get a family? Is there a family that can keep me? And so that's another area that we work in a lot. São Paulo, Brazil, does not have foster care developed yet. And so we're going into the Christian churches, challenging the churches for those who God would put his hand on to be a response to the orphans in these situations. Dalvino and Yara were our very first foster family. They took that step. They kind of opened the gates, and we've got a few other families now have come behind them. So that's just what I'd share about a brief story of our ministry, the way that God's using Delvino there and the leadership of that organization. It's not easy, and we depend on the wisdom of our leaders to lead us in that, and also to just share with you about what we're doing there. There's information in the back, and there's a card there that you can fill out if you want to be in touch, if you want to support, if you want to help. So I'll turn the rest of the time over to Delvino now, and we'll go from there.
Influence from international missionaries as well. About 8 different countries represented in the missionaries who are there, and about 50% of Brazilians.
I told you that there's lots of information. We're going to need lots of lunches in order to be able to get through all of them.
And we are involved in showing Christ's love to these children who are in the middle.
Isabel, the girl who stayed with us for 9 months, is going to have her birthday now on the 17th of August.
Says, and let me just find it here. Says, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his.
And yesterday I separated a little bit of time while we were shopping to buy her a birthday present to take to her from Canada for her to know that she's loved
as well. To
see that
process happen of God setting the lonely in families, of showing Christ's love to these children in this situation.
Let's read together Acts 16, verses 9 and 10.
But
I'm going to
moving to the next slide, I just want to share a story with you.
Chapter 16, verses 9 and 10.
He's a boy who came to us last year.
During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them.
Saw and experienced really terrible things. Ended up in a shelter that was taking care of him, and then went to another home. But because of everything that he had been through, he was a really chaotic
So Paul wasn't just simply in a church sitting in the pews in a comfortable situation. He was in the middle of a missionary trip, and in the middle of that missionary trip, he was being called to go to someone who needed to hear the gospel.
Describing the behavior, she said, we're losing control of the whole house because of him. Would you guys take him? Would you guys be willing to try with him? I went and met with him. And we prayed about it as a team, and we said, yeah, let's try this.
Today, I was looking around and perceiving how comfortable the church, our lives are. And when I say that, I include myself in that. I live a comfortable life.
Not so much to keep people in as to keep people out from the dangers that are around us. And he'd go over that 3-meter wall like it was nothing. I remember the last day that he did,
and
I went after him, and I found
thinking
him,
about how I wanted to be able to say to you how important it was the coming of that group to came that came to us 10 years ago.
Lost 2 other boys to the streets who are no longer living. And I was not going to let him be the third. And he was saying, but you can't keep me, you can't make me
stay. It's the truth that the group that went those 10 years ago didn't have the time to be able to do great evangelistic campaigns.
And through a conversation with our director there and things, that was the last day that he ran away. And he's been doing well since then. He's been staying in
school. But you encouraged us as you preached, yes you did, during that time that you were there, and also encouraged us to continue preaching and have encouraged us to do that until these days.
He calls us, the different workers there, I want a family. Where am I going to get a family? Is there a family that can keep me? And so that's another area that we work in a lot. São Paulo, Brazil does not have.
And the preaching of that has been happening since then, and I know is going on here as well. It's a dynamic preaching. It's not just simply the preaching of the word, but it's dynamic.
Delvino and Yara were our very first foster family. They took that step. They kind of opened the gates, and we've got a few other families now who have come behind them. So that's just what I'd share about a brief story of our ministry, the way that God's using Delvino there and the leadership of that organization. It's not easy, and we depend on the wisdom of our leaders to lead us in that.
And we have different areas in our church, different fronts in that I call practical evangelism, in which we are speaking the word objectively, but we are also showing the word of God working through our lives.
Eu falei que tem muitas informações, precisa de muitos almoços para nós falarmos disso, né?
É.
And so they aren't specific, maybe as formal as what might have in a bigger group, because our group is smaller, but there's breakfast, there's lunches, there's having people over for afternoon snacks, and this happens both in the context of our church and also in the context of the families.
Vamos ler Atos 16, versículos 9 e 10.
Let's read together Acts 16, verses 9 and 10. I'm going to 9 and 10.
One of the most effective ways that I see that that has been happening in our church has been our children's outreach and our children's ministry that we're doing, which we call the Life group. And we have the kids there and are doing a variety of different things with them, like basketball, some crafts, some different activities, and then sharing the gospel.
Paulo não estava apenas congregando numa igreja confortável, ele estava numa viagem e no meio de uma viagem ele é chamado para ajudar alguém que estava como ele pregando o evangelho.
We know that us being able to do that and having the enthusiasm has to do that has its roots in the coming of your church to be able to help us and other groups that have been able to come. We've had a total of 8 different groups that have come, and yours was the first one.
Hoje eu estive percebendo o quanto é confortável esse lugar e o quanto é confortável nossas vidas. Eu me incluo. A minha vida também é confortável. E é muito fácil a gente simplesmente ficar confortável.
And you're going to see on something that I'm going to show that Pastor Jacques... and the group that was there ate a lot. We did a lot of eating. But I think that I returned the favor and ate maybe a little bit more here in the last few days. Yeah, there was one day that I ate 3 different breakfasts. He went out in the morning hiding under darkness and went to Tim Hortons.
Eat two donuts. Grupo que foi não teve tempo de fazer grandes campanhas evangelísticas.
And when I returned back to the house where we were staying, to Jim's house, there was breakfast on the table.
Mas vocês pregaram sim durante os dias que estavam lá.
And on that same day, a little bit later on, we went out for a traditional Canadian breakfast at a community restaurant. And this man even made rice and beans for me the one day that we were there. He took good care of us.
E essa pregação que tem acontecido lá, eu sei que acontece aqui também, ela é dinâmica, não é meramente uma leitura bíblica e uma explanação bíblica. Eu gosto de pensar que...
And so as a church, we've sought to meet physical needs even as we are meeting spiritual needs, and I think that's why our church is called the Baptist Refuge Baptist Church, because we have the idea of being a refuge and taking people in.
Nós temos algumas frentes de trabalho evangelística que eu chamo de evangelismo prático.
I remember that there was a group who came to visit us about 4 years ago, a group of Christian brothers from the U.S. We were in the period of construction there at the church.
And we have different areas in our church, different fronts that are called practical evangelism, in which we are speaking.
And I remember that David, he was a firefighter, he was helping me build the wall, and he said, Dalvino, what day are we going to go out and preach in the houses?
Nós temos grupo pequeno, mas é feito de uma forma bem vívida. Cafés da manhã, visitas, almoços,
and I said to him,
you've
already been preaching 3 days, because this contact that you're having with the people while you're doing the work is our way of preaching to the children, to the adults who are coming by.
Para mim, eu acho que a forma mais efetiva e mais eficaz que tem acontecido lá dos projetos.
And so Tatiana knows this. She follows what I write on Facebook and things like that. I have the tendency to write things down on there, and I wrote a little chronicle that's called Lives in Construction, in the middle of the construction.
and we have the kids there and are doing a variety of different things with them, like basketball.
And so if you have the chance to see that online, what I wrote there at some point, maybe put it in the translator, you can see that I talk about the different contacts of the different people who have come alongside as we've been going through the construction. And just 15 days ago, we had a special contact with a man whose life is being intertwined together with the construction of our church there through the construction. It's a long story, and I won't have time to share it right now briefly in this moment.
Vocês verão que Tatiana, mas Jack e a turma que foi estará comendo aqui. Nós comemos muito lá.
And Delton and I have talked about what is our mission in coming and what are we wanting to do. And basically, I've come with the desire to thank the church here for the help that has been
given. Mas eu comi mais aqui esses dias.
And because we're Christians, we need to use the Bible to be able to do that. So I'm.
Teve um dia que eu tomei café. Eu tive três breakfast.
Yeah, there was one day that I had three different breakfasts.
And so let's turn to Acts 1:8, and I'm going to share a scripture from there.
Comi dois donuts.
And Acts 1:8 says this: "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And now he also requested that we read Mark 16:15 as well. Mark 16:15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation."
Então, além de pregar o evangelho, nós temos procurado viver o evangelho de uma maneira vívida e familiar. Eu acho que por isso nossa igreja se chama Igreja Batista Refúgio, porque tem a ideia de acolher, proteger e cuidar.
Como o Senhor vai fazer? Está descrevendo. Está prometendo.
In Acts 1:8, we have the clear description of what our mission is, and there is also promised the work of the Holy Spirit to the completing of the mission.
Esteve há 4 anos conosco. Estávamos no tempo de no dia que estávamos trabalhando na construção.
And so while in Acts we have the description, in Mark we have the prescription or the order of that which we
David,
are to do.
Big David, ele é bombeiro, estava me ajudando a fazer um muro. E ele falou, Delfino, que dia que nós vamos sair para pregar nas casas?
A medical doctor, he doesn't just describe the situation or the condition. He also goes on to describe the prescription of what should be done to remedy.
Você já está pregando há três dias, porque esses contatos com as crianças que têm passado e os adultos, hello e a conversa sobre Jesus, é o nosso jeito de pregar.
Completing what Jesus ordered in the going out is not to simply know how it's done and how it is to be completed. It is actually to participate in it, sometimes with difficulty, sometimes with crying, to be able to go and participate with the command to go.
Uma pequena crônica falando sobre vidas em construção na construção. Vidas em construção na construção.
And so I love to watch God's dynamic with us as he sends us out and as we learn from him in the going and then to also receive his promises in the middle of that process.
No decorrer dos 2 anos que já estavam na construção, e há 15 dias,
in Acts 1:8, it's promised that we will have power or we will have capacity to that which he has called us to. And this is not our power, but is God's power working in us and through our lives.
You can see that I talk about the different contacts of the different people who have come alongside as we've been going through the construction. Just 15 days ago, we had a...
And this power is at work in us in such a natural way that it releases and allows effects that glorify him and that please him.
It's a long story,
and I won't have time to share it right now.
Eu e Del temos conversado sobre o que nós devemos fazer aqui.
And that is only going to happen in us as a church if we obey God's, Jesus' order in Mark 16:15.
Essa forma de agradecer é um pequeno testemunho.
And let's read also the classic scripture that has to do with the Great Commission. That is a commission for life. It's not just one that applies to the pastor or to the missionary.
So let's turn to Acts 1:8, and I'm going to share a scripture.
Matthew 28:18-20. And if you know it by memory, you don't even need to open your Bible. And it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'"
Mark 16:15. And he said to them,
I love to see the promise that's in this. Jesus has said that he is going to be with us all the time, every day.
Yes. E Marcos 16 já foi, né? Atos 1:8, nós temos a descrição da nossa
He also says in John 15:15 that without him, we are not able to do anything.
Está prometendo poder de Deus.
In Acts 1:8, we have the clear description of what our mission is, and there is also promised the work of the Holy Spirit to the completing of the mission.
E em Marcos 16:15, o nosso Senhor
I love to perceive that in that process of going, in the doing of what God has called us to do, we also have comforts along the way, good things that happen to us.
Um doutor, ele não apenas descreve a doença, ele descreve
I don't know anyone who likes to live weakly or to likes to live without power.
A medical doctor, he doesn't just describe the situation or the condition. He also goes on to describe the prescription of what should be done to remedy the sickness.
Cumprir o ID de Jesus,
I don't know anyone who, knowing God, likes to,
having
known him, be apart from him and be attempting to do the work that he's called
choro,
to do without his presence. He has promised that he will be there with you.
Completing what Jesus ordered in the going out is not to simply know how it's done and how it is to be completed. It is actually to participate in it, sometimes with difficulty.
And if we do what God has called us to and what he has led us to, then we will have in us the power of him working in us, which also creates goodness and pleasure, enjoyment of that which we are doing.
Nesse jeito dele falar e nos mandar, ele nos estimula fazendo promessas.
And he says here in Matthew, how often will he be with us? He will be with us always, every day. And just a little bit of parenthesis here to honor
poder,
Delton. This is the part where I don't like to translate. Okay. I told him that he has to translate exactly to the letter everything that I'm going to say. Some things that I'm going to say right now, he doesn't know. I haven't said these things.
Que gera efeitos que agrada a Deus.
And this power is at work in us in such a natural way that it releases and allows effect.
In the process of going and preaching and sharing, company is necessary. Principally, Jesus' presence with you. And that is only possible if you have already been born again and have received Jesus into your life. Now I'm going to say a little bit about Delta.
E vamos ler também o texto clássico da nossa missão, que eu costumo chamar de missão vida. Não é missão para pastor ou para missionário. É a missão para a vida do santo, a missão para a igreja.
In several different situations that I was in throughout this week, I thought to myself what it would be like to be in this situation with Delton walking alongside me, doing some translating, especially when it came time to order food. You need that too.
Mateus 28, 18.
Without him there translating for me, I'd just be eating Tim Hortons every day, all day long. That'd be great. It wouldn't be that bad.
It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations.
Sometimes our life is Tim Hortons. Sometimes our life is a barbecue where we're eating good meat. Sometimes it's a banquet that's much greater than either of those things. Like the supper that we had here last night.
Amo perceber que há uma promessa aqui. Ele disse que ele estará conosco todos os dias.
It's going to be difficult to forget, or we won't be able to forget the times that we've had together during this trip and here with you. And it's great that I don't need to forget. I won't need to do that.
Amo perceber, eu gosto de perceber e experimentar que em estando obedecendo, no processo de obedecer, nós temos conforto.
I have a quick video that I want to show that just shows some of the scenes and the different ministry areas from our church. Delton's going to just provide a little bit of narration where possible. The images go by quickly so that we can see that and you can see some of what we do.
Eu não conheço ninguém que goste de ser fraco ou alguém que goste de viver sem poder.
You can run the video. Lunchtime at the church.
Também não conheço
some of the
ninguém
team,
que, sabendo do quão mal,
some of the
é
kids
ruim,
there that participate
Deus,
in the daily activities of the church,
de Deus, ou sem a companhia de Jesus, ele promete estar
ABW
junto.
Missionary that works with them there, Phil, this is the main entrance, and it says, love that is the proof of God. That's the children's activity that they have there.
Então,
this is Delvino on a trip to an indigenous tribe that he went to, where another missionary from their church is working,
Jesus,
and he went to visit them.
Poder de Deus em nós, que gera prazer também.
Some more pictures of the activities with the children. Delvino getting ready for the trip.
E ele diz em Mateus que ele estará conosco quando todos
close-ups
os dias.
Close-ups of the kids. Some of the missionaries that work there at the church. That's the main service.
A
view of the church from the front.
Honradel.
Some of the service again. It's the logo of the church. This is from your team, and you couldn't see that picture, but that was Pastor Jacques right there that appeared really quick.
Eu pedi pra ele
from 10 years ago. You might not have recognized him too. I don't know.
Da letra, tudo que eu disser.
And so the word that I would share with you today is of thankfulness.
Então, algumas coisas ele não, que eu vou falar, ele não está sabendo.
And so right now, like to call the individuals who went on that team 10 years ago to come forward. Not everyone is here today, but those who are, please come up.
A principal é a companhia de Jesus.
And also, Tatiana, please come forward, and the assistant pastor, Pastor Noel, too, if he's here.
Isso é possível se você já nasceu de novo.
And if Pastor Noel's wife is here as well, if she could come forward.
Agora eu vou falar um pouco do Delto. Em vários momentos, essa semana, eu fiquei pensando como seria...
Okay, he said there, if we run out of mugs, then you can come down to Brazil next year to get it, and I promise I'll make them exactly like these ones.
Pedir a comida, principalmente.
Right, and I'll fill it up with one cup of coffee, the Melita from Brazil, that's going to be the best coffee you ever had.
Sem ele, eu estaria comendo só Tim Hortons todos os dias.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So he said he wanted, you know, he knows that Tatiana had a birthday recently.
Já seria bom.
And his wife made something special for her and sent it along to give to her.
Churrasco na brasa,
and there's actually something in there for the both of them together.
Sometimes our life is Tim Hortons. Sometimes our life is a barbecue where we're. Sometimes it's a banquet that's much greater than either of those things.
Como a janta
it's for
de
you.
Ontem aqui. Okay.
Yes, he said you need to come down next year to get the coffee if you want coffee in it.
Okay.
Betty.
Vai ser difícil esquecer os dias que Deus nos deu a bênção de viver com vocês aqui.
You are just a cup. Cup is what we'll give you to say thanks for everything you've done.
Ainda bem que eu não preciso esquecer.
Amanda.
Nós temos um vídeo de 1 minuto.
When she was there, I used to call her beautiful girl.
Algumas imagens.
And she'd get all red.
O Delton vai narrar na medida do possível o que temos nas imagens.
You see how good it is to be a pastor's wife? If you weren't, you wouldn't get one up here. Right. Now, yeah. So when he hears that word, Noel, he understands it as now, which would be the present. That's what it sounds like when it comes to his Portuguese ears. Now I have a gift for you, okay? Pray for me. Yeah. If Rita's husband would come up also, she couldn't be here, but he's here, so he can receive in her place. I know that only you can give your
Rita,
your wife, a hug. But send her a hug from me. Yes. And this last one for Nina. And so he has a letter here from the mother church that was responsible for the church plant that he planted, and it comes in the name of the pastor there. Was missing his signature. He just signed it now. And he's handing it over to Pastor Jacques. Right. And so the pastor there from the mother church said, you were the one who was involved with them, and so you need to sign too. So it comes with both their signatures.
Yes, please.
Okay, and Dalvino's asking that it be read to the church.
Se faltar, vai faltar canecas, mas vocês podem buscar no Brasil ano que vem, eu prometo que eu farei igual.
Eta Pecerica da Serra.
Ah, e virá com 1 quilo de café Melita, o melhor do Brasil também. É, a Tatiana fez aniversário, né? Minha esposa fez uma lembrança.
Just to finish. It's probable that you perceived in the letter that it's saying that I will stay in the church through December. And the local church, or that physical church, because I continue to be a part of the church.
When she was there, I used to call her beautiful girl. And she'd get all red.
I love this church that God gave us the privilege of planting, but I'm praying for the transition that's going to be coming up and to know what the Lord has for us beyond December into next year.
You see how good it is to be a pastor's wife?
Obey the call of God because He will be with you always. And the obedience of you all in going there to help us have created fruits there in Brazil. God bless you.
Okay. Do grupo que foi só esses estão aqui hoje, não é? Uma carta que eu fiz e está assinada pelo pastor Edgar, que é o pastor da igreja mãe. Ah, falta eu assinar.
And so he has a letter here from the mother church that was responsible for the church plant that he planted, and it comes in the name of the pastor there. It's missing his signature. He just signed it now.
Ele falou, o pastor Edgar falou, você escreve, eu vou só assinar.
Right. And so the pastor there from the mother church said, you were the one who was involved with them, and so you need to sign too. So
do you want me, do you want me to read
this? Gostaria, para ele ler para a igreja.
We wish to express our thanks to the dear Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church and Pastor Jacques Nadeau, who personally was in our city in 2007 with his team. Since then, Newcastle has cooperated with prayer and financial resources in the growth of our daughter church, Ibiris, Igreja Batista de Fujo, in the city of
Itapecerica da Serra.
Under the leadership
for
of
me, Bobby, yeah. Itapecerica da Serra. Okay.
Mejor. Under the leadership of Pastor Delvino Sousa, Acts 1, verse 8 and 16, verse 6 to 10. Your obedience to God's call to missions has generated encouragement to our people and has also resulted in the growth of our young church. May the power of the Holy Spirit equip you to continue in this divine process. Your help will always be to us a divine intervention. We wanted to let you know that we are working hard to provide a new servant to assume the pastoral ministries of the church, as Pastor Delvino will be stepping down after December of 2017, after 11 years of service in the kingdom there. We look forward to continued partnership with you in the gospel for the good of the church in Itapecerica. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Glória a Deus. Só para encerrar, é provável que vocês perceberam que está dizendo na carta que eu fico nesta igreja até dezembro. Igreja local, porque eu continuo sendo igreja. Continuarei sendo igreja. Amo essa igreja que Deus nos deu a oportunidade de plantar, mas o ano que vem estou orando para o que o Senhor tem para a nossa família.
I love this church that God gave us the privilege of planting, but I'm praying for the transition that's going to be coming up and to know what the Lord has for us beyond December into next year.
Obedeçam ao chamado do Senhor, porque Ele estará com vocês sempre. E a obediência de vocês em irem nos ajudar lá tem gerado frutos.
God bless
you.
Morning, church, brothers and sisters. It's amazing 10 years ago what the impact of going somewhere will do. That's a testimony right out of our brother's mouth of how we send small short-term missions to around the world, and I've heard the pros and the cons and the nays and the yays for and against. But that is a testimony right there of how it's impacted for the last 10 years. Most of those younger people who have gone were this small. They were 10 years ago. Now they have babies and children, and it's still impacting that church. It just blows my mind. I was really blessed. I'm a believer. I'm a believer in short-term missions. So thank you for your testimony. Today, I've got about 10 minutes. I want to share some scripture with you, have a few comments. First thing is that on September 3rd at night, we'll be presenting the Jamaica missions trip that we just came back on, which again, from the pastor's mouth there was, he said, you could have sent the money, but I wouldn't take a dime. Because what your youth group did with my youth group will have eternal impact. And again, there's testimony that it's true. We started on a Monday with 9 or 10 youth coming, and by Friday there was 59 of them. Because they start talking to their friends that these people are genuine, these people love. You got to come and hear this message they're talking about. And we're getting text even to this day from one of the youth saying, our youth group misses you so much, so much. And the youth group, it's a tough youth group from tough parts. So I want you to turn to your Bibles in Philippians to chapter 2. And I want to remind us of a few things in Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read about the mind of Christ. And I'm going to put it together with what the mission of Christ was. You see, because the mind of Christ, it's so interwoven with his mission. We see the mission of Christ through the mind of Christ. And if we forget about the mission of Christ, we cannot have the mind of Christ. So I'm going to read Philippians 2 and start at 5. It says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above all names, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. I want to talk about the mind of Christ really quickly. There's three things when you look at this chapter, this little verse from 5 to 11. I'm just going to talk about three things. Jesus says in his word that he has a servant's mind, he has a humble mind, and he has an obedient mind. He is our greatest example of how we're to act as brothers and sisters in ministry, in the church. And you've heard so much from Delvino that ministry is mingling with your brothers and sisters. Ministry is communion with the community of brothers and sisters. Ministry is reaching out to the lost, loving those who are hurting, suffering with them, crying with them, laughing, and all those things. What we're doing today is ministry. When you go out to lunch, it's with your friends from the church, it's ministry. It's ministering to one another. We cannot have the mind of Christ if we forget the mission of Christ. So many churches in North America, it was hinted on, they've forgotten the mission of Christ. The mission of Christ was to come, to die, to reach the lost, to give salvation to those who would believe. And in our church, to have this mind of Christ, it comes from knowing that mission of Christ. Everything we do, everything we say, even when we're at work, it's hard. I know we get things in the way. Things come in our way. It gets We get drawn down into arguments. We get drawn down into worry and fear, and we don't have money or we can't do this. But our mind has to be set on Christ. It has to be set on His mission. If we do, then we can have the mind of Christ. I know that I struggle sometimes at work having the mind of Christ, being humble, obedient, having a servant's mind. It says in verse 7 that He emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant. And I just want you to think of those words. The King of Glory became a servant. The one in Revelation who rides the white horse, who comes back in the end, became a servant. I have to be a servant. It's hard. But if I keep my mind focused on the mission, I can be a servant. If I forget about the mission, then I serve myself. That's personally what I'm saying about myself. So to have a servant's mind, I've got to be always thinking about the mission, my mission in life. You are bought with a price. You are not your own. I don't own my life. I have to give my life continually back to the Lord's mission. I need to serve the Lord. I need to serve you. I need to serve my friends at work. And it's difficult. It's not easy. But when I think of what God, my supreme example, has done, He emptied Himself and He took on the form of a man and humbled Himself, obedient even unto death. That's my example. That's my bar. That's where I have to go. And by God's grace, we're all heading there. By God's grace. You said that this morning, brother. It's all by God's grace. Matthew 20, 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And what? Complete His mission, to give His life as a ransom for many. You see, Christ's mindset was connected to His mission. He did not have to serve, but He chose to serve. He did not have to submit to the Father's will, but He did. Why? To give His life as a ransom. Our example, we need to be a life-giving people. We have to give our lives. Next week's VBS, and we have 111 kids already signed up here. I'm terrified. But that's God's grace. And so we are to pour our lives and serve these children. Show them love from Christ and pray that they are saved. So He also says that Christ in Philippians 2:5, He has this humble mindset and humility. I don't have to go into this. He humbled Himself. I just want you to notice the action there. He humbled Himself. Other people didn't humble Him. He humbled Himself, and we need to do the same. He brought Himself under the Father's will, and He committed Himself to the ministry of reconciliation by offering His own body. And everyone in this church is to do that. Everyone in His church worldwide is to do this. And those who don't, they're missing out. They're missing the whole point of being a Christian. He also has the obedient mind, verse 8. He humbled Himself, being obedient to the point of death and even death on the cross. I know through conversations with some of my brothers and sisters, they're being told to do something by the Lord, and I'm very encouraged by it, but they won't do it. They won't obey. As any of we're raising our children, sometimes they don't obey us, but they know it's right. And when they do, they have this peace and joy because daddy is excited, mommy is excited. It's the same way with God. He wants us to be obedient. Why was Christ obedient? Because of His mission. Luke 22, 42. Father, if You are willing, remove this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Your will be done. Our supreme example. Carry that thought, Luke 22, 42, into everything you do. It's not easy. I'm not saying I do it every day. I don't. But carry this into all aspects of your life. Am I obedient to God's call? Am I a servant? am I full of pride, or do I try and crush that pride by focusing on Christ's mission? Or am I humble? Do I put others forward first? He's our example. I want to carry this into all aspects of my life. I struggle with it, but with God's grace, I can do it. Or do I find myself saying, it's my will? No, my will. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to partake in that ministry. I'm too busy. I've done my time. That's woman's ministry. That's not for me. But why did Christ do all these things? It says in verse 9, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, so that at that name, the name of Jesus, every knee will bow on heaven and earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Everything we should do, if we have the mind of Christ, should bring glory to the Lord, not to us. And why? Why did he do this? Because Jesus had a mission, and we forget about the mission. We forget about it. I know life is busy, and we do forget about it. But he had a mission, and his mission was to die. I don't have a mission like that yet. But Paul says, I die daily, and I'm trying. I think we all are trying. We need to die daily for the glory of the Lord, right? But Jesus came. He offered himself as a sacrifice. He left the glory of heaven to come to a corrupted earth because he had a mission. And he was humble of heart. He was lowly. He was obedient. He was a servant only because he was so focused on the mission of his Father. To do the Father's will. Hebrews 10:5 talks about that. It says this, to be missionally minded, Jesus said, consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. And again in John 4:34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say that there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes. Look, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already there is one who reaps and is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one who sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you did not labor, others have labored and you have entered into that labor. It is a joy to be in ministry. It is a joy to serve. The world says, I want to be served. And Jesus says, I want to serve. I know that I'm most content, and it's a personal testimony, when I'm serving or I'm given the gospel. I don't find content in my job. I thank God for my job. But I have a brother, we talk about it often about our jobs and what a blessing it is. But where we find excitement is when we're telling people about the Lord, I think. And we're talking about the Lord. You see, Jesus is saying, enter into the labor for which I saved you for. His mission should now become our mission every day where we go. It may be going to Africa for a short-term ministry. It may be going to teach Sunday school in the church. It may be being in the choir. It may be cleaning up after people. As a brother pointed out how a pastor was vacuuming last night, and he said to me, that is ministry. He's right. Serving, humble, obedience. So we need to have the mind of Christ. And if we focus on the mission of Christ, we're going to have that. We're going to understand the mission of Christ. And you already commented about Matthew 28, go therefore. We say that all the time. We can we can all memorize that and say it, go therefore into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We go, but we don't sit and listen to that. Go. Where is it he's calling you to go? Many people say it doesn't have to be overseas. No, it doesn't. But are you going wherever you're going? So starting tomorrow, you might have noticed all the decorations. We have 111 kids signed up. Most of them we don't know, to be honest with you, the names. Some are familiar, most aren't. That's 111 kids, but how many families and friends and cousins and uncles can be impacted by this ministry? It's one of the, well, it is the biggest outreach this church does. It feeds into other ministries such as Jam and Shine. And it feeds into the people needing food, needing counseling from our pastor. It feeds into people coming and being baptized. It feeds into people and families coming to this church and being loved. So you're all part of the ministry, whether you know it or not. So I want to do a test. I would like you all to stand up. If you're able to stand, what I want to do is this. If you were, you can, guys can look around when I do this. If you were saved in your 80s, please sit down. If you were saved in your 70s, please sit down. Amen. If you're saved in your 60s, please sit down. A couple more. If you're saved in your 50s, please sit down. Amen. If you're saved in your 40s, please sit down. If you're saved in your 30s, please sit down. If you're saved in your 20s, please sit down. If you were saved from 15 to 20, please sit down. All right, look around. That means most people, well, not most, but half in this room, were saved and under 15. Don't tell me Shine is not important. Don't tell me VBS isn't important. So I'm going to ask you, you can all sit down now. This week, there's some combat going to be going on in this church. Not all of you can be here, and that's okay. But you can all have the missional mind and pray for these kids. Last year, a number of kids were saved. So, out of 111, through your week, while you're doing your business, have the missional mind. Pray, pray, and pray. Be a part of the ministry. You don't have to be here. You can be a part of the ministry. Pray for these kids. Pray for the wisdom and the leadership to be able to give the gospel clearly to them. Pray for the Holy Spirit to dump on this place and to impact their lives, to change their lives. I don't know how many adults I've talked to saying, I was saved at a VBS. And they're in their 50s or 40s now. I was saved at a vacation Bible school. I was saved at summer camp when I was 7. I was saved, and you know what? They're still walking with the Lord. So please pray. You can be part of this mission. Have that mindset. Pray like this, Lord, go get those kids. Lord, I know I'm at work, but can you please give the leaders clarity? If you all pray through this week, we're going to see some wonderful things. Pray for the energy of the leadership from the teens up. Please pray for them. And so that God gets the glory in the mission. And I just pray that you all take away something. And in communion, maybe you haven't had that mindset. You've been too busy and you get overwhelmed with the world. And I think everyone in this room has done that. I've done that. But as we take communion, just talk to God and say, you know, I know I've been this, I've done this wrong, I haven't thought about you at all. I haven't read your word, whatever it is. And recommit yourself. Recommit yourself to be on side with his mission. We cannot forget. If we forget, the church is dead. So I'm going to close with a prayer and then ask everyone, worship team, come up, and I'll pray as you come up. Our Father in heaven, we just want to thank you, Lord, for caring so much about us. We don't even deserve to know you, Lord. Yet you chose us. You sought us out. Help us, Lord, just to have your mind. We can't do it without you, Lord. We're nothing without you. So we ask you to fill us with your wisdom, with your presence. We pray, Lord, that you would forgive us of our sin. Forgive us, Lord, for being maybe not thinking about you the way we should, or spending enough time with you, Lord. So, me included. Just pray, Lord, you'd fill this place next week with your presence. I pray on Thursday night when the gospel is presented to all those kids, as their family, their moms and dads, that you would save. That you'd save souls. I pray you'd be with everybody. Give us a safe week, Lord. Protect everyone. Protect the kids. Keep the enemy at bay, Lord, and just show your glory. And we'll give you the praise for it, Lord. Amen.